people of God, warriors for the kingdom, lovers of your community. So glad to be with you guys again. I think about you often, pray for you often, and I just pray that all things are well with you, with your mind, soul, and your spirit, that the Lord's given you a sober mind, you see things clearly. Pray that all is well with every single relationship that touches your life, that they're all honoring to God, they're pure, they're growing, they're prosperous. If there's anything in your life that's touching any part of your life that's not of God, that it would be brought down. I pray that you're well in body. Maybe some of you got a bad report over the last week or month. I just pray that the Lord would give you success, give you healing in whatever it is that has seemed to have implanted itself into your body. I pray that your family is well, your children are well, your grandchildren are well. The more grandchildren I have, I understand the greater that they're doing. If they're prospering and they're good, I'm good. Can I get a witness? Amen. If your family's good, then you're good. Yeah. Children are such a blessing. Amen. Scripture says that children are a gift from the Lord. Yes. And we as parents and grandparents, we've been given a great honor to raise and impact children's lives. And the Lord has loaned them to us. You know, Scripture says that the soul of the Father is mine, and also the souls of the sons are mine. Our children are not our own. The Lord gives them to us for a moment, for a blink of an eye. And then we have to stand accountable for how we raised our children. Has someone ever borrowed something of yours and then brought it back and it's all jacked up? You ever had that before? Man, you know, borrow your truck, bring it back on empty, soda cans in it, you know, fast food wrappers, smells of French fries in the back seat. They borrow your drill bit set. And they don't know how to use a drill bit set. And then two of the smallest ones are broken off. But here you go. Thank you, brother. Well, look, I need to send you the Amazon link to replace those drill bits that you broke up in. You know, if somebody loans you something, you want them to care for it, right? You want them to be good stewards of the thing. And that's what it is with us and kids. Several weeks ago, Pastor Dustin said, you know, Pastor Artie, you know, could you come doing family series, and, you know, could you come and preach and teach on children, raising kids? And that's always been one of my things that I've always enjoyed teaching on, always enjoyed preaching on family, raising kids. And I'm going to tell you, whenever I started to think and pray through the day's message, it probably the biggest emotion that welled up inside of me was anger. And it's a righteous anger, really. Because as I look at the culture and society, the way that we're moving as a nation, it scares me. It makes me angry. How in the world can these young parents raise children in a culture, in a society like this, where everything seems to be crumbling, all of our values and morals are just deteriorating? I just got angry. I was like, you know, especially, you know, because I still got small grandchildren. You know, my youngest daughter and my youngest grandson, my son-in-law that came and spent the weekend with us because it was my oldest grandson's birthday yesterday, had a party for him. So my youngest daughter, Leah, and my youngest grandson, Hank, was staying at our place, and I had to leave real early this morning to come here and study and get prepared for today. And I said, you know, I need to go up and see him because they're going to leave, you know, this morning, and I wanted to, you know, tell him goodbye, and he was still asleep. And I was just ready to walk out of the house and heard him cry. And I was like, yes, Jesus. This is my opportunity. So he was hollering for mama, and when I went upstairs, when I got to the top of the stairs, a daughter was coming in the same room, same time I was, and I picked him up and started, you know, loving on him and hugging on him. And then my daughter says, "You want to come with Mommy?" He says, "No, Poppy." And he just wanted to stay with me for a few minutes and just loving on him and holding him in my arms. I was like, boy, this is going to be tough. You know, this is going to be hard raising these kids to be godly children, to be godly adults. You know, the deck seems to be already stacked against families, and the stack is getting bigger and bigger. And so if I do get a little riled up, maybe a little emotional, I want you to know it is coming from righteous anger, if I seem to be angry in some of the things I say. And there may be some things that, you know, I say that may strike you wrong or you don't agree with, and that's okay. Everybody has the right to be wrong. This is America, so thank you. The verse I want us to kind of keep in our forethought this morning as we go through this is Nehemiah chapter 4, and it says, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your sons and your daughters." I want to start by asking parents that are in the room and those of you who are watching online four questions this morning. The first is, I think, and these questions are vital. I think in our culture, our society, these things need to be implanted in your mind if you're going to learn what it's like to fight for your sons and your daughters. The first one is, do you believe that biblical principles are the truth? Number two, what is your vision for your kids? What are you willing to invest to see the vision for your kids succeed? And lastly, are you willing to fight for your kids' future? The first question, do you believe that biblical principles are the truth? Let me start by saying, I think the greatest challenge for today's parents is the belief in biblical principles. I think that is the greatest challenge. Because, let me ask you this question. Those of you who have been believers for some time or grew up in a Christian family, how many of you would say that your view or your opinion of morality has changed over the last 20 years, last 10 years, last 5 years? Can you look back at the Bible and say the Bible is the truth and what is in the Bible does not waver? Now, the reason I say biblical principle is because some would say, well, I have some issues with some of the things that are in the Bible. For example, man, they sure got that whole dinosaur thing wrong. God just kind of left that out, so it doesn't address all the eras and all the history and the science of dinosaurs, so the Bible can't be true. Or that science isn't right, or it's not a historically correct, you know, record of what happened historically. Well, I've addressed those issues in the past, and I don't want to get bogged down in that. What I want you to understand is what the question I'm asking you is, do you believe in biblical principles, and I mean moral principles, practical, everyday morality, what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is false, what is justice and what is injustice? What is righteous sexuality? What is holy sex, gender identity? All of these things that are corrupting our culture and our societies today. Do you believe that the Bible is the truth? Now, some will say, well, you know, I used to believe that, Pastor, but over the last time, I've been educated now. I'm a little more informed. No, you're a little more deceived. Either the Bible is true or the Bible is not. The Bible is true. Psalm 18 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. In other words, the word of the Lord is right. The word of God, the principles that are in the Bible have been tried and true. For thousands of years, it's been proven. I'm sure all of us have played ball with somebody or playing ball with ourselves, throwing up and catching it. Have you ever thought, even once, for a millisecond, whenever you threw a ball up, for some reason, it would just stay there and not come down? Have you ever thought that? Yeah, why? Thousands of times you've thrown it up, and every single time it comes right back down. That's what the Bible's talking about. The Bible is tried. It has been tried and proven to be true as battle-hardened. Whenever you go into battle, you want to take weapons that have been proven to be correct, powerful, straight, reliable, trustworthy, and that is the Word of God. And as parents today, we have to have a place that we look, that we can say, this standard is absolute truth. In the Bible is absolute truth. It's unchanging. It's unwavering. It doesn't change with culture. It doesn't change with law. It doesn't change with politics. It doesn't change with the wind, the direction of the river, or other people's desire. It is the truth. From one generation to the next, from the very beginning to the end, the Word of God is the truth. And that is a great challenge for parents today to believe the morality of the Bible, because everybody else is telling you the morality of the Bible is wrong. And it's infecting your kids and your family. The world wants to tell your children that the truth is what you think it is. It's relative. Listen, if that's true for you, then that's your truth. And what's true for me is my truth. No, every time I throw the ball up, it comes down. It doesn't matter. If you believe that the ball is going to stay in the air, doesn't mean the ball is going to stay in the air. The truth is the truth. And we have to understand that we have to raise our kids according to biblical principle and morality. Do you believe, as a parent, do you believe in biblical principles? The second question, what is your vision for your kids? What is your vision? I mean, if you believe the Bible to be true and the Bible principles to be correct, we all want to raise godly kids. We want to raise good kids. And so when you see biblical standards and morality in Scripture, what is your vision for your kid to look like in light of that? What's your vision for your kids? And I'm not talking about what grades you want them to have, which you always want them to do well. Not grades or how you want them to look or who they're going to marry, where they're going to work, where they're going to go to school. No, but their essence of who they are, their character, their foundation. What do you want them to look like? How do you want them to react to authority? How do you want them to respect other people? How do you want them to respect themselves? How do you want to teach them to be, when it talks about walking in purity and holiness, what do you want your kid to look like? Do you want them to understand the difference between truth and a lie? Do you have to have a vision for your children? You know, just as if you were wanting to build a house and you had this dream house in your mind for your whole life, and whenever the opportunity finally comes and you have all the resources to build a house, and you're online and you're looking at all these different things, and your wife or your husband's over there looking, I like this one, I like this one. I do like that. We love this. And then you start riding around all the different neighborhoods. Ooh, I like that. Take a picture of that. Send that to Mom. Oh, send that to Sally. See what she thinks about that one. And you take all these things and I like a driveway like that. I like the color of that. And so you work on this vision and you finally know what you want, and you take that vision to an architect, and the architect says, yes, I can put this vision on paper. Just like Scripture says, catch a vision and write it down. Yes, this is what it's like, and this is what it's going to look like, and the size of the rooms and the shape and the textures, and this is what the fixture is going to look like. And yes, you have your vision on paper, and then you take it to a builder and say, can you build this vision of ours? You see, God is like the visionary and the architect. He puts the plan out in Scripture. He says, this is what your kids and your family need to look like. And then when he gives us children, we're like the builders. Can you build this? I've given you the plans. They're detailed of what they should look like, their structure and their foundation, what they should sound like. Can you build that? And God entrusts us with children as builders. And God has a vision for your children, how he wants them to be. And we as parents have to develop in one with God and one with the Scripture, pull together that vision and build it for God. A vision is vital for your children. Proverbs 29 says, without a vision, the people will cast off restraint. Or without a vision, your kids will cast off restraint. The King James says, they will perish. The Hebrew word for that word perish or to throw off restraint, it means to let loose. It means to be empty, to be unoccupied. In biblical times, they typically refer to this as like a ship that's tied to an anchor or to a bar. And just to let the rope loose and just let the ship just go wherever the wind blows, wherever the current takes it, whatever the storms do to it. It's just set afloat. There's nobody driving. It has no protection. It's thrown by the wind. It's let loose. It becomes a victim of its circumstances. It's empty. It's unoccupied. Now, if I were to take this cup, and I were to take this cup, and it's, you would call it empty, right? How many say that's empty? Okay, three people. So, but that's empty. And if you were to take this empty cup and pull it into a pool of water, what would happen to the cup? Yeah. It would be full of the pool water, right? You know, and if the pool is the world and culture and misguided morality, if you take your kid and you push them in like that, whatever's in that pool then fills your child, because without a vision, your child is empty and it's unoccupied. But if I take this cup and turn it this way, is this empty? No, it's not empty, is it? It has air in it, right? Now, if I turn it up this way, there's still air in it. But when I pull it under the water displaces the air and it becomes full of water. But this cup is full. But when I push this under the water, does the water get in the cup? Man, I got some third grade physics people in here. That's good. No. The water cannot infect the cup because the cup is full. This is displaced by the world, when it's empty, when it's let loose, and it's unoccupied. So many times parents are sending their kids out into the world unoccupied and empty. And we're depending on someone else to fill it up. It will become filled. It will be filled. But it's going to be our decision as to what our kids are filled with. So that's why it's so important that whenever we think about the future of our children, we have a vision in line with the morality and the standards of Scripture. Because kids are a wet cement, right? Somebody wrote a book about that years ago. Kids are wet cement. I mean, they're constantly having impressions made upon them. We can't for a moment prevent other things from making impression on them, but we need to make the biggest impression. Morals matter. Morals matter. third question, what are you willing to invest to see the vision for your kids succeed? Now, when I use that word invest, I want to use this working definition. Invest means to sacrifice what is valuable to achieve a desired outcome. To sacrifice what is valuable to achieve a desired outcome. Now, if you had a friend of yours that came, let's say your friend's name's Bob. Friend comes to you and says, hey man, look, I have an incredible business opportunity. I've patented this technology or this system. It is cutting edge. It's filling a big hole in the marketplace. It's going to be a great investment. And everything, man, all my business plans, everything in line. Man, I'd really love for you to invest in my company. And you could be like, man, I'm with you. I see it. I love it. I'm in. $1. $1. You probably lose Bob as a friend. But just in case you didn't, Bob says, okay, all right, $1. Okay, my man, that's all you're up for, $1. 6 months in, you see that some decisions are being made by him that you don't like. And you come to him, Bob, we got to have a sit down, babe. We got to have a sit down. There's some things going on with the company I don't like. Do you think you'll have any influence with Bob? Bob don't give a rip what you got to say. Bob don't care about you as a friend anymore. You're way down on the totem pole, you know, below snail slug. You don't have any influence in Bob's life, in the company, and how it's being run. Do you know why? Because you didn't invest anything. The greater the investment, the greater the influence. The greater the investment, the greater the influence. Now, when you look at your kids, you need to understand they have incredible value. God has given you a task of raising them according to his biblical principles, and they have incredible potential. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, wow, Cynthia, you raised good kids. Man, all your kids are going to be brain surgeons. No. That's not the way that works. And please, don't tell your kid that they can be anything they want to be. They can't. Okay? You set your kid up. Hey, I hope they are. They can be brain surgeons. But, you know, let's just be honest. And we're talking about reality. Some kids are brighter than other kids. Your kids may not be the brightest. But they can be the most godly. There's a standard. You don't want to be through your kid's head. You could be anything. Mom will be a brain surgeon. I got an IQ of 65. You can be a brain surgeon. No, they can't. Be honest with your children. I'm not saying don't go around saying they're losers. That's not what I'm saying. But all your kids have incredible potential. Are you willing to invest in that vision of godliness that you have for your kids? And remember, the definition we're looking at is to sacrifice something of value to achieve a desired end. And you want your kids to be godly, and you have to invest to the point that it hurts. The sacrifice for your kids to the point that it hurts. Every parent, every family has to determine what that looks like. You know, when we were raising our kids, and that's just the way that we did it, and I accredit this to some incredible godly couples that mentored Georgie and I when we first got married, before we got married, when we had kids. I just don't see that many family mentors anymore. But we had some incredible mentors that they really walked the walk and talked the talk. They had incredible families, incredible kids. And they took us under their wing, and they taught us so many things while we were young. And it was our conviction that, you know, Georgie was going to stay home with the kids. We homeschooled our kids, and I went to work. And sometimes I had multiple jobs to provide for the family. But that I'm not saying that's what you have to do. I'm saying we understood what it was like to sacrifice to invest in our children. And it's too easy today for some parents not to make that sacrifice. It becomes a simple of, I'll invest when it's convenient. No, you sacrifice. You invest sacrificially, not just when it's convenient. Too often we are sacrificing our kids' future on the altar of convenience. And if you simply cannot now in this world, in this culture, in this society, where everything is against you as parents, if you're trying to raise a godly family, everything is lined up against you. And where it used to be, where somebody, you know, when I was growing up, everybody was on your same team, right? Your neighbors were on board with your vision for your kids. I mean, when my mom and dad were raising me, you know, we lived in a poor neighborhood, but people had the same morals. I mean, you watched out for one another, kids. Now you're scared they're going to, you know, take them in the house and do something to them. You can't trust your neighbors. The teachers had the same ideal of morality. They don't have that anymore. Your coaches don't have that anymore. Every single touch point, every single part of influencing your kids' life seems to be stacked against us parents and grandparents who want to raise godly kids. And in order to counter that, it's going to take a tremendous amount of investment of the thing that is most valuable to us all, and that is our time. Sacrifice that which is valuable. Sacrifice your time to achieve a desired outcome of godly children. Everybody seems to be against children, godly children. But the greater the investment, the greater the influence. You see, because as your kids grow older, you want them to hear your voice. You want them to respect and honor your opinion. You want influence with your children. At my grandson's birthday party yesterday, his other grandfather was telling us all that he's started coaching football. And, you know, little tiny kids, 8, 9 years old. And this is over toward Atlanta. And one of the kids that are on the team, he's not the most gifted physically. He's a little overweight, been inactive for a while. He doesn't have the greatest, you know, athletic ability. But his father was somewhat of a famous football player. His father has never been in his life. As soon as his son starts to play football, he shows up. He's in the stands, and he screams and cusses and hollers at his poor son because he does not have the athletic prowess that his dad did at one point. He said sometimes before his dad shows up, the little boy gets so afraid that he pukes, throws up on the field. Now, do you think that father is going to have any influence with that son? Do you think that son would care that even if his father communicates world-changing, life-saving truth to him, do you think he will listen? No, absolutely not. Zero influence. Why? Zero investment. Zero influence. Zero investment. Last question, are you willing to fight for your kid's future? Remember where we are in Nehemiah chapter 4. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your sons and your daughters. Just a couple things about that. To engage in the battle for the future of your kids, you need to stay informed. You need to know every single input channel that is in your child's life. You need to know every input channel that is in your child's life. So if your child's old enough for you to give them a phone, you need to be checking that phone. Oh, that violates my rights. Who's paying for these Cheetos and Cocoa Puffs? I'm going to tell you. You don't have any rights in this house. You don't have any rights. You earn rights when you pay rent. You earn rights when you pay the internet bill. That's how you earn rights. Until that point, that phone is mine. I check, and that phone, this is my phone, this phone A, your phone, phone B. I can check phone A, I can check phone B anytime I want. Now, if you don't want me checking phone B, you don't have to have phone B. I take phone B back. That's mine. You need to know what they're saying to each other. I mean, and you need to Google it. They'll come up with these crazy little things now. It's like code talk. They think they're being sly, but Google got it figured out too. All the little abbreviations, all this stuff. What in the world does that mean? Hey, come here. Come here. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, yeah. You need to be checking that. When they're on their laptop in the bedroom doing homework, oh, I'm on that. You need to be monitoring that. And I'm not meaning in a bully way. I'm not meaning in an overlord way, in a loving way. I mean, if you do it in an overlord way, you're going to lose your influence too. But you need to know what the teachers are being taught, what they're teaching your kids. You need to know what the coach is saying. You need to be sitting up there. You know, you need to know what's going on. Every input channel in your child's life, be informed about it. Understand it. Use that as a teaching moment. You need to have deep conversations. The older your kid gets, it used to be you'd have these conversations now when they're teenagers, but now you need to have these conversations when they're young. Because now when they go to school in second grade, they're telling your little boy that they can be a girl. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? You need to understand that. I was reading a story the other day, a little boy, I don't know how old he was, you know, wasn't even in middle school yet. He was a little boy, said he's going to be a girl now, changes his name, and the school said, no, we can't tell the parents that that's what they want to do. They can do that. The yearbook comes out, and the little boy has a girl's name printed in the yearbook. So the parents go to the school and say, what happened? And they said, well, we're not obligated by law to tell you that. Some schools now, they have a special room that if you're a girl or a boy and you wear a girl or boy's clothes and you want to change, have a room especially for you, you can go in and change your clothes and spend your school day, sex other than what you came to school with, and change back out before you leave. Are you okay with that? Is that part of your vision for your child to have that? No, that's not right. I mean, the world is not with us. The culture and community is not with parents now who have a vision to raise godly kids, and it is a fight. You must fight for your sons and your daughters, or they will be filled by the world. They will be intoxicated by the world. You have to stay informed. You got to get involved. Go to the meeting even though you're tired. Take the teacher meeting even though you're tired. Go to the community meetings even though you're tired. One of the greatest things you can do is begin to surround yourself with like-minded parents. That's one of the beauties of a small group. One of the beauties of being involved in a church. You need to have other parents around you, and automatically, and adults or authority figures. You want your children to be around other authority figures that reinforce your values and your vision for your children. And fathers, let me tell you, masculinity is under assault in this country like never. It's just, please, fathers, invest the time to raise masculine boys. Teach them to be men. Teach them to be men. Have friends that will enforce and lovingly show your sons what's it like to be a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father. You know, because whenever you tell your kids something, so often it's so much more reinforced when it comes from somebody other than the parent. You know that, right? And so you want other adults around your children that are reinforcing, that they're speaking life into your children. That's vital for the future of your kids. Vital. And it's getting more difficult. I mean, I have this discussion with my grown children all the time, is that, you know, I don't envy them. I pray for them. It just tears my heart out to see, you know, what my kids and what my grandkids are exposed to. And if that doesn't shock you, if you don't understand that, then you know what? You're uninformed. You need to be informed. You know, you can hear from so many parents, you know, something really happens real bad. Well, I had no idea. I had no idea. You know, you have to be willing to fight for your sons and your daughters. Actively engaged. Be informed. Surround yourself with other parents who will reinforce your understanding of morality and righteousness, because you want to raise godly children. So I'm going to ask you those four questions again, and I want you to ask them in the first person to yourself. Do I believe that biblical principles are the truth? Do I have a vision, according to the biblical truth, do I have a vision for my kids? Am I willing to invest? Am I willing to sacrifice that which is valuable to me till it hurts? Am I willing to invest to see the vision for my kids succeed? And am I willing to fight? Am I going to get involved? Am I going to be informed? Am I willing to fight for the future of my kids? Remember, your kids are not your own. Every part of them belongs to God. And He has given them to you and to me as parents and grandparents for a season that is so short. The blinking of an eye and it's over. Your opportunity to earn that influence, gone if you don't make the investment. God has given us a precious gift in a very short time to raise them and construct them in the Word of God and in the standards of God to be godly children. Be willing to fight for your sons and for your daughters. Let's pray. God, we bless you. We thank you for the incredible gift of being parents and grandparents. We don't want to lose sight of such a great responsibility that comes with that blessing. Lord, forgive us the times that we're too tired, times that we're uninformed, the times when we just don't take the time to invest. Lord, give us courage. I pray every single parent in the sound of my voice would find new courage, new vision for their kids, a willingness and a passion to fight for their future. Because without their parents fighting for them, surely without that vision, the kids will perish at the hands of a corrupt and immoral society and culture. God, give every parent strength to do what it takes to raise godly kids. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.